May be seated. If we could back that up one slide, just that last stanza of that song. A few minutes ago, I was in the library and that just came to mind. I was in there praying to be filled with the Spirit. And I said, use me, Lord, use even me. I was praying those exact words and here it is in this song. I'm going, wow, just as He will and when and where. It doesn't always make sense to us. We're just opening to His leading, right? Because He knows better than we do. If you haven't figured that out yet, you will. Okay, He knows much better than we do. So we just open ourselves up that He'd use us, right? The living sacrifice in Romans 12:1 that we hit a few weeks ago. So use me until Thy blessed face I see. Wow, can't wait. And then to share His joy and His glory and the rest. I mean, beautiful promises. But yeah, that really spoke to me. So yeah, every day just pray that, Lord, use me. Where You will, you know, I'm here. I'm open. I'm offering myself up. Today, it's about gifts. If we're going to be serving Him, we all have different gifts and abilities and talents that we've been given. And we'll be learning more about that. So let's start with that with our readings here.
Our first reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Here ends our second lesson.
All right, please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for today comes from Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. While they were listening to this, Jesus, He went on to tell them a parable. Because He was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once, He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So He called 10 of His servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, He said, until I come back. But His subjects hated Him and sent a delegation after Him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then He sent for the servants to whom He had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you do not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Here ends the reading. Any kids want to head out for children's church? Feel free at this time. Lord, thank you for your word that was written so long ago but still applies today, of course, because it's timeless just like you, God. May it speak to us. May it hit us deep down inside and change us to be more like you. Amen. Alrighty. So we've been working through Romans 12. We start out the living sacrifice. You know, Lord, just use me where I am, however you want. We moved on to not being conformed to the ways of this world. You know, we got to be a little different as Christians. And of course, some people are more different than others. And hey, if that's us, that's fine too. If we're different compared to the ways of this world, hey, I'll take that as a compliment any day. All right. So we had progressed through that. Alrighty. Don't think too highly of yourself, but also don't think too lowly of yourself. We spent a week on that. And then last week, the body has different parts. We all have different functions. And what we're learning today builds on that. We all have different roles to play as the different parts of the body. And we are equipped for these by God. He has given each of us different gifts, different talents, different roles to play, different functions, and equipped us with his gifts. So that's what we see today. We said we're going to take us one verse at a time, but these three fit together so nicely that we're definitely going to take them together. We could go into each gift and spend a Sunday on those too. You know, maybe in the future someday, who knows. But for today, we have different gifts, yes, according to the grace given us. According to the grace, the unmerited favor from God, right? We don't earn the gifts. A gift is not earned, it's given. We don't earn gifts. And God is great at giving. He loves giving. That's who he is. So he's given us these gifts so that we can fulfill our roles at different parts of the body. You know, if you're going to be a hand, but you don't know how or you don't have the ability to be, you're misplaced. You know, you should be somewhere else perhaps. So he's designed each one of us with different gifts. And you may not feel gifted, but you are you, and you're the only one of you. You can do things that other people can't. In certain situations, God's going to plug you in to things that only you can do, right? And he's going to use you for that, if we open ourselves up there once again. All right, so we have the different gifts according to the grace from God, right? A man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now, we had the prophets in the Old Testament. Indeed, there are many books from the major prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, etc., the minor prophets like Micah, Haggai, you know, Nahum, Habakkuk, things like that. And there's value in all of those. Right now, I'm working through the Old Testament in the morning right now, and it's eye-opening. And every once in a while, you hit those verses that just point to the New Testament. And sort of go, wow, okay, this is written centuries before. Now it came through with Jesus, and it's so beautiful that God used those prophets for that. The prophets would hear from God. They were connected to God. He would speak through them. A prophet had a very, a tough job at times. They were not well accepted, but a very serious job in that they couldn't really voice their own opinions. If they do that, that's going to lead to problems. They had to hear from God and to speak only what they heard from him when they were officially prophesying. So we have that, but there's still prophecies that are being made today and come true today, obviously. And every once in a while, God will just give you a thought or someone will say something, and later on it happens. You're going, whoa, okay. And it's a type of prophecy, okay? It's not the office of prophet like we had with Jeremiah and Isaiah where they were appointed as prophets, but God can still speak through people and speak truth. So some people have that gift. But man, if it is serving, let him serve. That's something that we should all be doing. Some people have the gift of serving, but we can all serve, of course. Following Christ's example of serving others. As Christians, that's what we do. We serve others, putting them above ourselves, their needs above ourselves. A lot of people help out and serve around the church, too. There's those that serve to clean, those that serve to set up communion to get here early Sunday mornings, those that serve on the sound system, the slides, the backup people for that. You know, we all have different gifts, and then we serve accordingly. We serve others out in the community and around the world as well, just in our daily lives. What a great way to testify to our faith, by serving others. You look all through the Gospels, what was Jesus doing? Serving others. Absolutely, and we're called to be like that. So that gift of service, and there's just, I don't know, satisfaction in that, in serving others. You just feel good after you do something good for others, don't you? There's an inherent reward there. And as I think we observed last Sunday, it's easier to serve than to be served. It's easier to help than to ask for help. I mean, yeah. So there's a lot to it. If it is teaching, let him teach. Some people have that ability. We got Marcy and Jill and Maya right now teaching the young ones in there. As a career teacher in chemistry and physics, you know, maybe I had a little bit of an ability in teaching it. If so, God was using me in the right way. And still is with that one section of chemistry every day. Love it. Love it. But there's some people that are teaching that probably shouldn't be teachers. I don't know, maybe you look back and you can think of a few in your past, or you know a few out there that maybe they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Well, they can still teach the subject matter, but are they going to teach it with the same passion? Are they going to teach it with the same intent? Are they going to just take delight in doing it? It shouldn't just be a job. And that's not just teaching. That's anything. It shouldn't just be a job. You have a calling. You have a passion. And if you can connect that with your career, you're doing what you love. And God's working through it. An example, my wife has worked as a nurse for many years, as an RN. Well, CNA, then an LP, and then an RN. Okay, worked her way up to the ranks. But they have a hard time finding CNAs. Now, they're doing a lot of the work that nobody would really want to do. It's an ugly job. It is. They're serving others for sure, but they're dealing with, you know, every bodily fluid you can think of and cleaning up messes and things like that. And some might do it just for a paycheck. Yeah, it's a job. You can do it. But for others, they've been doing it for years because it's a calling. And they get to serve others. They take great satisfaction in doing it. It's not a glorious job. It does not pay well. But they have a chance to connect with the people. They do it out of their heart. And it's just, they're the right person for that job. Because it's not something that just anybody can do. They have a gift for that. And you find it fulfilling when you get to use your gifts. And they're using it to serve others, right? Hello. Okay, serving others. So if that CNA is a believer, even better yet. But even if they're not, they have gifts and talents given them by God, and they're using it to serve others. We don't use the gifts and talents to build ourselves up, you know, to make ourselves look good. No. It's all about serving others, being there for others, loving others, being kind and patient with others, forgiving others. All those things. Jesus set that example. So yeah, the teaching. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. Now that's something we can all do. Some people are just encouraging to be around, right? You love working with them because they're just so encouraging and they're positive and every once in a while you get, you know, like I was talking about a Bible study yesterday morning, if you get like a genuine, sincere compliment, that's something to just be treasured and valued, isn't it? Because it's meant. Someone encouraged you. And some people, again, have that gift. And then in the other end of the spectrum, you got more of the Eeyore people, okay? They're not as fun, maybe, to be around. They tend to drag those down. But seek to lift them up, right? Okay, give them a positive encouragement. Give them a little compliment. Give them a hand up or something. But again, we're all different, and we have, you know, our personalities. Okay, so to encourage others, and does that cost us anything? No, it doesn't. It should be genuine and sincere, though, right? You can give people compliments to try to butter them up or to earn favor, etc. But no, this would be a genuine and sincere one, which is meaningful, all right? Which is meaningful. So some people have that encouraging gift, right? If it's contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. Some have the gift of giving, all right? Now, it's not just financial. We tend to think of it that way, and that's true, too. Some people have just been blessed with abundant resources, and they can give them for God's glory. Not just writing out checks to the church, but in other ways as well. But it's not always finances. Some people are going to give of their time. They're going to give of themselves. They're going to be present with others. There's so many ways to give of ourselves. And it's a gift. Some people have that, but we can all do it. Even if that's not your primary gift given by God, we can still be generous. We can still encourage others. We can still serve others. Absolutely. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. Some people are cut out for leadership, others are not. I've served under officers, and some of them I willingly serve under. They're great. The way they treated their troops, the way they related to us, absolutely, I'd follow them. Other officers or else senior sergeants, yeah, I'll respect the rank, even if I don't respect the person. It has to happen to make things work. But if that's that gift of leadership where someone is, people are willing to follow him or her, it's a good thing, and it's a big, big, big responsibility. It follows it up here. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently to use it properly, listening to the constituents, making, hopefully seeking God in the decisions and making the best decisions in the best interest of everybody, to be diligent in that, not to build self up again. In a lot of these, there is that temptation to build yourself up in each of these gifts. But again, we use them for God's glory to serve others. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. That came up Tuesday morning. Showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Okay, I'm going to be merciful because I have to. Even if I don't want to, I'm going to show you mercy. You know, that's not cheerfully, right? It ought to be, I'm just happy to show mercy to you. I love you. And I want to serve you just as Jesus did. And any of these gifts, to do them cheerfully, even if you're having a bad day, don't feel like it, I guess, huh? But again, it's not about us. It's about God. So to cheerfully use whatever gifts you've been given for his glory, not our own. To return the thanks by doing it. In each of these also, there is a word. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously, etc. That word let is in there every time. Do not hinder someone from using their gifts. Let them do it. Furthermore, encourage them in that. Someone's using their gifts for God's glory to serve others. So don't stand in the way of someone using their gifts. This is telling us as well. Paul's writing that. And that word let is in there every time. To let it happen. But indeed, to go further than that, to encourage people to use their gifts. If they got a gift that they've got, it's not being used. Is it doing any good? No. Admitted, I suppose that some of us have received gifts at Christmas or something like that that are still maybe sitting in a box somewhere and not really being used. Or maybe even something from way back on your wedding, you got a gift that's maybe still in the hutch or a cupboard or something and not really being used. You can think back on those. It's not doing anybody any good if it's not being used. If we got gifts given by God, we know that they're good gifts. These are useful gifts. They are to be used. All right? If my motorcycle just sat in the garage and never got used, I could look at it and polish it or something like that, but it wouldn't be doing anybody any good. All right? You wouldn't have the joy of using it, and you wouldn't have a chance to use it for God's glory, etc. So if you've got these things, use them. Some people haven't even unwrapped their gifts, right? They're just going through life. And they haven't even pulled back the ribbons to see what God's given them, that it can be used to serve others for His glory. So if you don't know, you should know pretty much what gifts and abilities you have by now. But if not, you know, seek that in prayer, or else there are spiritual gifts inventories you can take. Where you just take a survey, you go through like a number of questions, and it'll ask you about all kinds of different situations. You know, it's actually asking you about, do you like to give, serve, and things like that, but it puts you in different situations. Then at the end, you tally up your score, you can see where your major and minor giftings are. It's a worthwhile thing. They're out there and they're available. And it's sort of fun to see where that comes in. Every time I do that, mine comes out to serving. I just love serving others. Everybody's going to have something different. But with my wife, it was compassion. And as a career nurse, you can imagine, you know, God's given her this gift, and she gets to use it. It's a beautiful thing once again. All right, so this is important that Paul writes this here. It's not the only place he mentions it. We had heard it in 1 Corinthians today, too, when he's writing to the people of Corinth. Corinth was that seaport visited by all kinds of people. And I don't know, a lot of people compare it to sort of Las Vegas or something, okay? You could find anything in Corinth, and it usually wasn't good. But this was an opportunity to reach these people of Corinth. And being it's a seaport, you start to convert people to Christ, guess what? They're going to go out to other places, right? They're going to bring the word, they're going to bring the gospel with them. So God used it strategically. This place that was immoral and everything else, but he strategically used it. Paul wrote at least three letters to them. We have 1 and 2 Corinthians in the Bible, and he refers to a third letter, which has never been unearthed or discovered, but someday it might be. It would be fascinating to see what's in it. But he does a lot of things in the Corinthians. He's giving them encouragement, he's answering questions, and he's setting them straight on a lot of things as well. But he's talking about spiritual gifts here. And he talks about the source of them. Where do they come from? Well, all good things come from God, right? We know that. There are different kinds of service, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So they're all from that same source. We're going to see here later on that the Spirit sends them or gives the gifts out to the right people. You don't want to give the wrong gift to the wrong person, I suppose. You put a lot of thought into gift giving, I'm telling you. Is this person going to like it? Does it fit them? Is it them, right? And God knows us better than anybody ever will. And he's given us the correct gifts according to his choosing. Alrighty, verse 7, now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, again to serve others for God's glory. I keep on repeating that, but there's a reason, right? It's for the common good, again, not to build ourselves up. He goes through lists. To one there's given the Spirit the message of wisdom, another the message of knowledge, another faith, another gifts of healing, miraculous powers, speaking in different tongues, interpretation of tongues. So different gifts for different people. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. He knows which gift is right for you. Some people, it's really hard to pick out a gift for, isn't it? This work? No. You just got to find something that speaks to you, I guess. But God knows us, again, more intimately than we'll even know ourselves. And he knows which gifts are proper for us and right for us. And everybody's got them. At Bible study, we're talking about people that have different giftings, and it doesn't matter who you are, what limitations you have. Like, we'd use the example of Stephen Hawking, an astrophysicist, brilliant guy. Wheelchair most of his life with Lou Gehrig's disease, couldn't do a lot, but he had this gift of thinking and mathematical calculations, which doesn't require physical movement. So he could use those gifts. Some people have limitations in other ways. I've taught over the years a number of kids with ASD, autism spectrum disorder. Some really severe, some really high functioning, and a lot in the middle. But sometimes these kids will have an incredible mathematical gifts. You give them a multiplication problem involving, you know, a couple of three-digit numbers, and boom, spit right out. How did you do that? Or I could say I was born on September 16th, 1963. But 1 second delay, that was a Friday. I think it was a Sunday, I'm not sure, I wasn't there. Is it Sunday, Mom? I'm going to put her on the spot now. What day of the week was it? Okay. So, but anyway, you tell this kid when you're born, and he tell you like it was a Wednesday or something like that. How do you do that? They have an incredible gift. Maybe you've seen the movie Rain Man and things like that. Or these people have incredible gifts that can be used in different ways. So we've all been given different gifts. Paul also mentioned it in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, when he's writing to the people of Ephesus. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that he, the body of Christ, may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we're talking about distributing different gifts to different people as needed. All right, as needed. All our abilities, all our strengths come from God. We can't claim them for our own. And to be used for his glory. Not only Paul, but Peter. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. He had written, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. There we go. Using your gift to serve others. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So again, the gifts from God to us so we can serve others for his glory. Now each of you is a gift. And each of you has a gift. And we are called to use them. Again, there's a danger in not using them. The body of Christ will be handicapped if we're not using our gifts for God's glory. He's entrusted us with them. And we see that in the parable today. From Luke. This is right. Well, he's still talking to Zacchaeus. Here's what had happened. So the story of Zacchaeus precedes this. And it says, while they were still listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Alrighty. And in this parable, he uses the minas, or amount of money. Well, if he's speaking to Zacchaeus, who is all about money, of course, as you recall, he was a corrupt tax collector. He uses money then to get across to him. So this is sandwiched right after Zacchaeus and right before the triumphal entry, because after this parable, it says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem for the triumphant entry. So that sort of puts it in context. It's important to remember what's happening here. They had stopped in the town Jericho where Zacchaeus was, and we had addressed that a few months ago. Jesus just knew he had to go there. Like he had this divine appointment with this person to meet. And sure enough, it happened, okay? After that, he tells him this parable, and then he's off to get the donkey and make a triumphal entry. Again, we could take this just as a parable, but when you think about, you know, the situation, the scene, setting up what's happening, it's very important to do that. Okay. So while they're listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem. Indeed, he was headed there for his final week. And the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. They thought this is it, okay? The Messiah has come. The kingdom's going to come. But no, not God's plan. Not God's plan. And this parable sort of outlines it a little bit as well. So Jesus starts telling a story about why he's not going to appear at once and what God's plan is. He said, a man of noble birth, and Jesus, of course, was of humble birth, but noble birth because he is king of all, went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and to return. So he's going to leave this scene, head off to a distant country, but he is going to return. Amen? Yeah, he is going to return. In the meantime, he's going to keep people busy. He's going to give them their different gifts, and they're going to use them for his glory. And we have to use those gifts. We can't just let them sit idly by. That's one of the morals of this parable right here. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them each 10 minas. He gave them each one is what he did. He split up the 10 among them. If we look at a similar parable in Matthew 25 that happened later on after he was in Jerusalem and teaching, where we had the parable of the talents. Those were not distributed equally. To one, he gave one talent, another five, another ten, etc. They were different. But here, everybody's given the same amount. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. Okay, if you're blessed with money, yeah, you should put it to work. You know, do something with it. Do something good with it. Don't let it just sit there. And ultimately, using it, you know, work for God's glory. There's, if you don't know where to invest, there are certain places out there that will contribute to Christian causes and bless others with it, the interest that they receive off of it. So, I mean, just a wonderful opportunity to give that way as well. All right. Put this money to work until I come back. Don't just let it sit there. Could the same be said of the gifts that he's given us, to put them to work until he comes back? Yes, absolutely. That's why I selected this as the gospel today, because this reminds me so much of that situation. We have been entrusted with gifts, just like he entrusted people with money in this story here. And these people were the Jews of the day. How did they respond? Verse 14, his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. Jesus was rejected by the people of the day, by those in power, those that they influenced. He was made king, however, okay. He died, resurrected, and he is crowned king and returned home. He will return home. Then he sends for the servants. Now, it's interesting, we only hear about three of them. There are 10 of them. What about the other seven? Did they invest wisely? Did they squander? Did they use it for their own purposes? Did they just let it bury in the ground too? We don't know. We just have the three examples. But the one, 10, he was given one, and then he turned it into 10. Sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant. Because you have been trustworthy in a small matter, take charge of 10 cities, a much, much bigger thing. All right, 10 minas. All of a sudden, 10 cities. You've shown you're faithful, you're going to be, your reward is much greater. Same thing with the five, okay? Five minas, five cities. Another servant came and said, here's your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. That's sort of puzzling to me because that doesn't really describe God to me. But it was this person's perception of God. How they saw God. Oh, okay. That helps a little bit. So he was judged by his own words and, you know, bad things happened. He was given a gift, didn't use it. And, to waste it. To waste something given by God. Whew. Okay, that's disrespect to God and the kingdom's not growing like it could. Again, given, not earned. The gifts are given. We don't earn them. Indeed, we can't earn anything with God. Can we earn his favor? No. He's going to love us. We could choose to accept his love or reject it, but we can't earn it. Alrighty. A song, an old hymn from 1899. We give thee but thine own. Yeah, it comes from him. It's his. Whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. So everything we have is God's. When we give back to God, we're just, you know, giving what's already his, right? So when you give our tithe, we take 10% of our income, we give it to him. Well, we're just, it's his anyway, right? So yeah, whatever the gift, it comes from him. It's a gift from him, everything that we have. May we thy bounties thus as stewards truly receive. A steward, we're entrusted with using it, with managing it, with using it properly, and hopefully for God's glory. And gladly as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give. We're immensely blessed. Think of people in third world countries. Hey, people around here, we are truly blessed, and it is right to honor God with it. Another verse down here, to comfort and to bless, to find a balm for woe, to tend the lone and fatherless, as angels work below. Again, some have that gift of mercy, of compassion, of serving, of giving for others. To tend the lone and the fatherless, to comfort and to bless. That's it's a type of serving there. And again, we don't do it to earn favor. We do it just out of who we are and thanks to God. The captive to release, to God the lost to bring others to Him, to teach the way of life and peace. It is a Christ-like thing. Releasing captives. We're not just talking those imprisoned in cells. Some people are held captive by various sins, or held captive maybe by drugs and alcohol, or by gambling, or pornography, or homosexuality, all these other sins. There's something that's holding them. And these people can be released. And God can use us in the process to give them freedom. Something that we don't appreciate enough as well. That we have freedom. We are free. I mean, if you've been held in a cell and all of a sudden you're set free, it would be overwhelming. To be held in sin and be set free, that's overwhelming as well. To all of a sudden have this joy and this happiness and this freedom, this thankfulness to God that I am no longer that person. I'm no longer held captive by that. To bring others to God, to teach, but to teach the way of life and peace. This author, Henry Ellis Wooldridge, he was, I believe, probably talking about the gifts, a lot of them as he wrote this. To teach the way of life and peace, to show others that way. It is a Christ-like thing. Alrighty, so we've all got different gifts. Let us use them for God's glory, not to build ourselves up. Let us put our gifts to work. Let us not just leave them in the box, like the one guy burying the one mina. Let us use them. Let us pray that God would show us where and when and how to use them. That He would give us opportunities to serve others, to show mercy to others, to show compassion to others, to lead, to encourage, to heal. All these things. He's going to put those opportunities in our way. He's going to give us opportunities to use the gifts that He has given us for His glory. Lord, lead us to those places that we can use our gifts for Your glory, to build You up, Lord, to tell others about Your kingdom. And that as these people are healed, as they are encouraged, that they're going to realize that You are the source, Lord, that they can come to freedom as well, freedom in Christ, and that they would be discovering and using their gifts in turn to build others up, that this would have a snowball effect, Lord, that Your kingdom would just grow and grow as a result. So, Lord, we offer ourselves up to You. Whatever gifts You've given us, Lord, we're going to use them humbly to serve others for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.